Today on The Breakdown, if you were a little bunny climbing up a tree and the farmer saw you, would you say, Mr. Mateos, don't shoot me? Would you say that? Because it's Adrian Mateos against Matthias Eibinger. And they're heads up in a $125,000 buy-in. First place, I'm just going to say this once, and it will never be repeated. $3.9 million. It's incredible. It's so much money. And these guys are heads up, and the hand is going to take place that will matter, that will determine things, that will show us greatness within the poker. Take a microscope to this one, people, on The Breakdown with Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey, first time no rehearsal.
Is that like a fable from your childhood?
Nope.
Or you just made up the bunny asking the farmer not to shoot him?
Yep. Just came up with that.
Okay. Interesting. I guess you're like the Brothers Grimm over there, man.
I think I am. I'm like the Brother Grimm. The Brother Levy. If you were a bunny up in a tree and the farmer saw you, would you say,
Mr. Mateos,
don't shoot me. It's pretty good. It's catchy.
It's like a 3-year-old. Child's fable, yeah.
Yeah, you have a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
She just turned 3. Well, she'd love it.
I'll be like, listen, Elena, all farmers have guns and want to shoot bunnies and you. Yeah. So
ask for them not to.
Yeah, that's the only way out because they're very good at their jobs.
Right.
You've got to be careful, especially if it's Adrian Mateos.
Adrian.
He has a lot of poker success, so he's probably good at being a farmer with a gun.
Well, how much poker success do you think he has, though, Grant?
32 million.
Puh. More.
40 million.
39 million, Grant.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's the easy one. There's a tougher nut to crack, my friend, and it's Matthias Eibinger.
He plays these high rollers. I've seen him playing these high rollers for many years, I think.
The last 5 things he's cashed in on Hendon, 125,000 buy-in, 60,000, 125,000, 60,000, 50,000.
A serious bankroll.
He's playing high rollers for sure. Those are all, of course, from this year, from this summer. And
this tournament they're heads up for is 125K.
Indeed it is.
Well, is this his biggest score? Can you tell me that?
I can tell you that. I'm going to look right now and tell you that. The answer is this is his biggest score.
Because they've locked up a lot of money here, heads up.
They have.
I'm going to go with 17 million on Eibinger.
17.8.
Holy shit.
It's a fucking talent that few people have.
It's a disease.
It really shows something about something.
They call me the disease. Because I can get the Hendon.
Because I need a cure.
Yeah, I get the Hendon numbers, and you know what? The side effects of that are pretty bad.
The disease is an incredible nickname for like a tough poker player or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or a guy who is like just kind of unclean and plays.
Yeah, he's like his feet are always kind of smelly and he does like the shoes have holes in them and stuff.
Why do you call him the disease? Because he's so sick. I mean, because he's actually so sick.
I'm not concerned like that he will not wake up tomorrow morning because of his health choices.
We call him the disease because we're not sure if this is a new disease that is yet to be, you know, sort of known in the world, but whatever it is, it's real bad.
Bad. He seems incurable or unwilling to be cured, perhaps.
He is known more for his sickness than his health.
Is that what do you say at weddings? That's what you say at weddings.
You say
right?
They're known for their sickness more than their health.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you say.
What the priest says.
You were married, 9 years ago?
Almost. Yeah.
How did I know that? It's like you with Hendon, me with weddings.
I mean, you were there.
I challenge any listener to write in. Via Discord, via Twitter. What's our Twitter handle?
At Two Poker Guys.
At Two Poker Guys, the number 2 Poker Guys. That's right. I challenge any of you to say, I'm married. What year was it? And if I don't get it, you all get prizes.
Wow, what's the prize?
Can't say.
Yeah, that's for
it's
sure.
Bad.
you don't want the prize.
Prize is bad. Very bad. But prize. I challenge anyone to stump the Lev.
To be clear, it was closer to 8 years ago than 9 years ago, so you weren't... Exactly. Like, if I were to pick a number, it would have been 8.
Was it more than 8 years ago?
Yeah.
So, what's more than 8? 9.
What's more than 9?
10.
So, was it 10 years ago?
Well, is 9 closer to it than 10?
It depends on which alphabet you're using.
If we're playing Price is Right rules, then I would lose.
Yeah.
But if we're playing the opposite of Price is Right rules, which is if it goes over, you lose, then I would win because I'd be the closest possible number. I'd get the I'd have the nuts right now.
This is the absolute. This is nuts. Too complicated.
The
this
immortal
is,
nuts.
This is like when I was first learning about reverse blockers. It's too much. I can't figure it out. Mm. Hey, this was suggested by Zach M. I think this is a first timer.
Is he one of those funny people? You know what I mean?
That sounded racist. I don't know why. I don't know. Something about it was just like, racist. What do you mean? Is he one of those? Yeah.
Funny people. How is that racist?
Yeah, there's something about it. Something about it just irks me, man.
That
you
really,
you need to be readjusted.
You came hard at me.
What are you doing today?
Like that.
Yeah, what are you doing today?
I didn't realize I was saying it like that until I said it like
Zach
that.
M.
Zach M. I just meant like, is he like a comedian or something?
Why would you say that?
Because there's a comedian named Zach O.
Who?
Zach Oyama.
I don't know him.
Right, but he's on things. And so Zach M made me think of him. the first letter of their last name is very close to each other in the alphabet, just two away.
You are exactly like a dog chasing a car.
It's like it's like a one gapper. Their last name, first letter of their last name is one gapper.
Yeah, it's like 6'8" suited.
Exactly. Yeah. There's value in that hand.
Yeah.
Come on.
Late position, you're deep.
You have to go.
All right. Well, so we're heads up.
Yeah.
They have made a deal. The original difference between first and second was 1.3 million.
Yeah.
But who in their right mind wants to play for 1.3 million?
I mean, some people actually do want to play.
Yeah, I mean, like Rick Solomon, sure. But like these guys are pros. They don't want that level of variance against another pro. So they're playing for like 300K instead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They both locked up over $3 million, but there's about $300,000-$350,000 in play here.
My guess, by the way, is if Rick Solomon was one of the people and either of these guys was the other guy, they would have granted Rick Solomon's request to play for the full 1.3 million.
That is probably true.
Yes.
So.
Not that he had to request it. They'd have to request
it. Well,
the
thing is, though, like Mateos wouldn't want to do a deal unless it's an extremely favorable
him
with Rick Solomon. And then Rick Solomon's like, fuck you. I don't care anyway.
Yeah.
Like, of course. So that's what would happen.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah. And fair enough.
Yeah. But instead, we got Matthias Aibinger. From Austria.
Yes. And Adrian Mateos from?
Spain?
Yes.
Yeah. I always want to say Argentina, but it's Spain.
But where was he born?
Spain?
Yes. But where does he live?
Spain?
No. London.
England.
London, England.
They all live in England.
Yes.
Because they love Margaret Thatcher. That's who it is.
She's really shown something. By the way, Matthias Aibinger from?
Austria.
Lives in?
England.
Austria.
Damn it.
You never get that right. You're the opposite of you on Hendon when you get to residence.
Yeah, residence is bad.
You're like the dumbest. You're like a dummy. Big.
But that's like a cool thing. Like it's like in a rap song when you call something the dumbest.
Yeah.
That means it's the best.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean when I say it to you.
Yeah.
Every time, if you just look at all the past 10 years of podcasting and just, you know, hanging out, we've been doing, anytime I've insulted you, add that filter to it.
Okay.
And you'll feel good.
Yeah. I mean,
probably
it's like,
really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's like saying LeBron James has the dumbest fadeaway. It's like, that means it's good.
That's just the stupidest thing I've ever seen anyone do.
Yeah.
That LeBron just did.
Yeah.
That's a compliment.
All right. So it's 300K, 600K. Yeah. And the effective stack is Mateos with 14.7 million. So we're playing just above 20 bigs effective.
Okay.
Aibinger not too far ahead with 17.6 million.
Coolio.
He's dead, so that's not cool.
Oh, yeah. Gangster's Paradise.
Yep, that's the song that he sang.
Yep.
And then he died, and that's your fault. So,
yeah.
Aibinger is on the button, / small blind. We're heads up. He's going to do something, I guess, that's been popularized recently, because we did a Yo Viral against Maria Ho hand, where a very large hand was not aggressed preflop.
Mm.
And Aibinger has two kings.
Yeah.
And he's going to limp. What are some advantages to this? Do you like this at this stack depth? Do you think the stack depth is why he did it?
I do think the stack depth is why he did it for sure. I'm a little surprised that when we're 20 blinds effective that he's not raising, though. Like the Maria Ho hand, they were 10 blinds or 9 blinds effective. It makes more sense because either you're limping or you're shoving. Anything else is very odd, right? Mm-hmm. And his alarm bells are going to go off, right?
Yeah.
But But this, you could just make it 2x or 2.1x or whatever you want
right,
to
Mateo
do.
Right, Mateo says like 24 blinds as the effective stack, and he's going to jam like some aces and stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, maybe Aibinger is just limping a lot on the button.
Maybe.
And so he's going to limp with the strong hands also, and he knows Mateos is going to jam a bunch of hands anyway, and it's okay.
Yeah.
That is true. Like, if Mateos looks at an ace, he's probably jamming, right? If he looks at two picture
cards. For 24 blinds, you think he's jamming 24 blinds with an ace?
If he's got a bad ace, yeah, I do.
I don't.
Really?
Heads up, I don't think so.
Well, mathematically, it's right to do so. I'll say that for sure.
Yeah.
By a lot. If he's going to be out of position, I think he probably just takes it down a lot. But I think he's jamming whether you raise or whether you limp with that ace most of the time. I'm not saying 100% of the time, to be clear, because he doesn't want to be that obvious, right? But I'm saying the vast majority of the time, I think he is. Hmm. But anyway.
I think people are protecting their stacks more than when you read that book 12 years ago.
I don't know if that's true or not when they have an ace and there's 24 blinds effective. I don't know if that's true.
I would just guess that he's not going to do that, but we don't know. We'll never know.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have an ace. He has 9-6 of clubs.
So we can't know.
Yeah. And he checks with 9-6 of clubs.
Sure. So now if you're Aibing, you're already like, man.
I want to ask a quick question, though, in fairy tale land where Mateos isn't jamming as a raise. Whatever Mateos has. If Mateos were to make it like, I don't know, 2.5 million.
Right.
What do you think Aibinger is doing?
That's a really good question. This is why I don't love this limp at these stack depths, because it feels like, I guess, it feels like a three bet is so strong. I mean, I guess we can just have bluffs here too, though. We can have limp re-raises with like queen 10 suited sometimes and ace deuce and stuff like that. So I guess it's fine. You just feel like mostly you're just going to get folds, though, right? And it sort of sucks.
I don't hate the plan of calling and then jamming or effectively jamming all flops that are relatively safe. You know, like, obviously not an ace-high flop.
You want to jam, though? Because, like, how much should... If Mateos makes it three, there's going to be six blinds in there. He c-bets, let's say, a relatively safe flop. Let's say he c-bets half.
I had him make it four blinds, but whatever.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry. So there's eight blinds in there. He bets... There's 12 blinds in there, and you want to jam... 19 into 12. I guess that's not.
I mean,
bad.
Not once he c-bets.
Right. No, yeah. I included that. Yeah. That's okay. How I got to 12. It's a little big, but it's fine.
But any raise is effectively jamming.
It's true. That's a great point.
Yeah.
And also, in some ways, maybe it's better because if there's any kind of draw out there, it's going to look a little bit, you know, when you're not to Mateos, though, he's too smart for this kind of stuff. But to lesser competition, they'd be like, why so much? You know?
Right. I mean, unlike the 10-7 deuce. Two heart flop. I just don't hate a jam if Mateos c-bets after that. I think it's fine.
Yeah. And he's calling with a lot. He's got to call with a seven, right?
Yeah.
He just feels like on that wet a board, he's just going to have to. That's pretty cool.
And if he has like any two heart combo, a lot of them are going to be combo draws, stuff like that. And
if he has an over card and a heart combo, he may just call it off anyway, honestly.
Yeah. Which is a fine result for us.
Yeah. If he raised pre-flop, he can even have like ace x a heart sometimes.
Yeah.
If he doesn't just jam it.
So I wonder if that's the plan. We'll never know.
Right.
Because Mateos checked back.
Okay, and already as Aibinger, we're like, well...
That's too bad.
Some weird things can happen now.
Now I have no data, and I just have to use distribution.
Stack to pot is like, you know, okay, but not amazing for this hand, you know?
Yeah. Okay. 1.8 million in the pot. 10, 10, 6. 10 of spades, 10 of hearts, 6 of spades.
Cool.
Not loving the paired board, but happy that it's not more coordinated as Aibinger. Mateos does flop a 6.
Yeah.
Do you just go ahead and lead if you're Mateos?
I think it's very reasonable to bet like one blind here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just pure protection.
Protect our equity. We can get value out of some worse hands. Like, clearly, Aibinger is going to be limping with some like ace highs and stuff like that, clearly.
Yeah.
Even like king queen, king 10, stuff like that are going to be calling.
King 10 would be bad.
King 10 would be horrible, but that will not fold.
It will not fold.
Be right. But king, queen, king, jack, things like that are going to call.
Yeah,
for
anything
sure. We
with,
can get some value.
Anything
and
with two back doors, two overs, stuff like that. Yeah.
But you don't mind folding out, like, you don't mind getting called or folding out seven deuce here, right? Or things like that either. Not that he's, you know, because like he's got some equity and why just let him have the pot and have things get complicated. So I think I mostly want to lead here.
I do too, but Mateos checks and he's better than us. So
yeah.
He's probably not check raising, right?
That would be crazy.
Yeah, so he's just willing to accept the variance of the turn card no matter what, because he's going to call if a bet happens. If it goes check, check, then he sees a turn card anyway. He's just willing to accept that variance. It's a limp pot.
Yep.
He'd rather catch a bluff, I guess.
He trusts himself to figure it out is what it is, right?
Yeah. What do you do as Aibinger?
Is it a rainbow board?
Yes.
Wow. There's just not much.
Two spades.
Oh, okay.
I lied.
Do we have the king of spades?
Nope.
Okay. That makes me a little bit more interested in betting. I think we should be trying to build a pot here. I think we should bet. The problem is, what is Mateos calling us with that isn't a 10 or a 6?
Nothing.
He doesn't really have any pocket pairs. He doesn't have any ace highs, I wouldn't think, or almost zero.
I mean, spades.
He could have spades. He could be check raising spades.
Yeah.
Or even just check calling spades. Whatever. But he's often going to lead with those two. There's not a whole lot to get action from is the problem, right? At the same point, don't we want to build a pot? I guess we also don't want to... Because now Mateos has an infinite range,
yeah.
Essentially, on this board, he's got, you know, he doesn't have quad tens.
But he has trips, he has full houses.
Yeah, he has all that stuff. And we have a good enough hand that we can't fold to action. Do we want to think about pot control right now? Because if we bet and get check raised, we're already potentially in a world for, like, we can't really fold.
Right,
we're going to have to hope he doesn't have a 10.
There's two spades. There's two spades. He can't fold.
We have to hope he has a 10. Hope he doesn't have a 10. Hope he does have a gut shot or spades and they miss, right? That's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
So do we want to play that game, which is just the, like, close your eyes and drive towards the Wile E. Coyote in his car and hope he swerves, essentially? Or we want to check back, do some pot control, and give Adrian chances to bluff, but keep it all more, like, chill, essentially?
Yeah, I think I like that a little better. It's also pretty deceptive.
It is pretty deceptive. That's true. We can call basically turn almost any turn river combo.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Maybe it becomes spade spade. Maybe we can find some folds. Like, maybe.
Yeah, like the six of spades is a pretty bad card.
Six of spades, but like if it comes 7-8 of spades, that's pretty terrible. Yeah. Right? Stuff like that. But only if he goes bet. And, you know, and the river bet is big. Even then, we can fold then. But like there's very few ways we're going to fold if we check back here. So
yeah.
I guess I like a check because now we get to be in total control, it feels like.
And Matthias wants to be in total control.
And we don't have that much to be afraid of.
So he checks and he's not afraid. No matter what other people say, he's not afraid.
People do say a lot of shit about Matthias Eibinger, specifically about how afraid he is.
Yeah, of spiders.
Yeah.
But he's not.
And prestige.
Right.
He's afraid of gaining prestige.
Right.
People say that.
That's why I always forget about him. I never remember that he exists. Anyway.
Yeah.
He checks.
Okay.
I think we both like it.
I think I like it. I wouldn't hate a bet, to be clear.
No, I wouldn't either player betting.
Right. But I think both checking is fine.
Yeah. The turn is the meaningless four of diamonds.
Feels pretty meaningless.
I mean, Mateos could have paired up. Eibinger could have paired up from each other's perspective.
Yeah, that's true, actually. And actually, it's a good card in that way, right?
Yeah. 5-7 becomes a draw. 3-5 becomes a draw.
It's time to start betting for either one of these players.
For Mateos, he's going to protect his hand.
Yeah.
He goes 2/3 pot, 1.2 million into 1.8.
It's easy call, that's for sure.
It is. There's no reason to raise at this point if you're Eibinger, right?
That seems crazy.
If we're going to decide to try to go for thin value, it should be the river, not the turn.
I don't like raising anyway. Like, what are we raising? We're raising off some of the draws. That's about it, really,
yeah.
Right? Especially with the paired nature of the board, you don't have to worry about a weird... Like, the amount of outs Mateos has if he has a 4 or a 6 are much less, right? Depending on what the other card is, but for a lot of the cards.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if he has 9-6, it
has to be an ace for him to have more outs.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he almost never has an ace.
Yeah.
So, bleh.
I mean,
whatever.
When I think about it a little bit more, though...
Yeah.
Raising is interesting because it doesn't make any fucking sense at all. I think it's problematic in that Mateos has infinite combos of tens. And by infinite, I mean every available one, not actual infinite. But as Mateos, you would not believe the story that Eibinger is telling if Eibinger raised. So with a hand like a six, maybe you give action, you know?
And
so that's pretty interesting.
It's hard to give him a six because he checked the flop, though. It's harder to give him a six.
It is.
So there's not, it's just not that
many.
But
even a four, I mean, like, it's just a weird story for Eibinger if he raises now.
I mean, you're only raising for value with a 10, right? And I guess weird full houses.
Yeah.
Or full houses. You would think. The problem is, kings isn't that much worse than tens, than having a 10.
Yeah.
But the hands that are definitely giving us action are all, for sure, are all obviously better than kings.
Yeah.
That's the only problem.
The easy play is to call. It makes sense. But I thought it was an interesting idea just because Mateos is so good to like do something that just is unexpected.
And the pot is now going to have like six blinds in it or something like that, a little more. No, about six blinds in it if we call.
Seven.
Seven. So we're never getting all in on the river, but maybe that's okay. Also, if Mateos checks, we can put in a big value bet on the river and hope to get called. We can bet polarizing. That'd be kind of cool if it bricks out and yeah. checks.
Eibinger calls. He does the easy,
that's fine.
I'm afraid of spiders type of thing.
I don't want, I'm afraid of winning this tournament, yeah. not losing it.
I don't want people to know who I am. I want money, not fame. I mean, that's really the way to do it. Everybody knows that. The river is the seven of diamonds. Does not affect anybody's hand. It's the 10, 10, 6.
5, 3 comes in.
Yeah, that's true. And 8, 9. 10, 10, 6, 7, 4.
Okay.
4 or 10, 10, 6, 4,
this is
7.
This is a great run out, especially for Eibinger, right? Like, Mateos can come up with, well, he could have a 7 in his hand, right? He could have, like, 7. There's a few draws where she could have called with the 7 in his hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not too many, but a few.
Yeah, I mean, of course, sometimes Mateos now beats Eibinger on this card. That's the bad thing for Eibinger.
Because he makes a straight?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Of course. He has all the combos of 8, 9, and 3, 5 yeah. in his range. All of them. All of them, I say.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
But that's fine. We knew that going in when we checked fucking flop and just called turn and didn't raise parade.
5, 8 also, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. All there's 48 straight combos, man.
Oh my God, it's so many.
It's more than...
Did you hear the unexcitement in my voice? Because it's not a lot.
I wasn't a fan of the way you said it. It felt dismissive.
It was dismissive.
And it felt churlish. I didn't like it.
You're just saying that now because of the Key & Peele sketch.
Yeah, I'm just saying it now in 2023 because of that.
But is that not what you were referring to when
yeah,
you said
it? Yeah, that's what
it?
I was referring yeah, okay, to. So, is that okay? Why are you saying that like you got
no, you
me?
You just made it sound like you were referring to it. But then,
what do you? How did I make it sound?
Yeah, I was 2023. I was so many years ago. I don't even know. But actually, no, yeah, that is. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. I absolutely was referring to it. That was you just now. That was me being you. I did you.
I think.
And I owned you, and you got embarrassed.
Do you need to eat? What's going on? Are you hungry?
All I've had is a smoothie today.
Yeah,
so,
you seem a little like you need a nap or something like
I have
that.
A little pain in my my temple.
Too. Right. You need
a little sinus bottle.
You need
a little sinus pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all getting directed at me. It's great.
I feel like I would have directed it at you either way, though. In fairness.
Okay. So anyway.
Yeah.
10 of spades, 10 of hearts, okay. 6 of spades, 4 of diamonds, 7 of spades.
Okay.
Mateos has 9-6 for flopped bottom slash middle pair.
I want to say this, just as you're describing. I know this is a breakdown hand, so something crazy is going to have to happen. It's hard for me to imagine what it is. I guess we could get like a, I'm just predicting here, a raise out of Eibinger and Mateos heroes it or something. Like, it's so hard to come up with, and I don't even know how we could get... It's so hard for me to think of what this could be, but it's going to be crazy because it's a breakdown here.
Are you being facetious, or do you actually...
I actually don't know.
Okay. Well, Mateos is going to bet, and maybe this will give you a clue as to what happens.
Oh, is it a huge bet?
No, it's tiny.
Oh, we are going to get a raise.
He bets smaller than he bet on the turn. He bets 900K into 4.2 million.
Okay.
Make sense of it for me, please.
He is trying to get value out of a 4, so he's trying to price a 4 in. He's trying to make it. He's trying to bet in a way that a 7 won't raise, right?
A 7's not going to raise anyway,
right? So, but he doesn't want to check because a 7 might go for a bigger value, right? He's trying. So he's setting his price this way with his 6. That's the best I got.
Doesn't it feel like a bigger size accomplishes those things at the same time and gets you more value more of the time?
Well, a bigger size certainly doesn't accomplish paying less against a 7.
Right, but I think a 4 is more common than a 7 at Eibinger's range.
I think you're probably right, but there's a bunch of 7s here.
Yeah.
So, right. Also, if we're going to get raised, we can just quietly fold because the straight came in or whatever if we want to.
So you don't have to be embarrassed, is all you're saying?
Well, you save money. You save money. You know, you only put 900,000 instead of 2.4 million in, right? You save that 1.5.
It's just interesting sizing. Like, it's notably smaller than the turn sizing.
It really feels like he's saying, you have some more 6s that I can get value out of with my 9 kicker, but more than that, I really want you to pay me off with a 4. And also, the added bonus is, like, if you're a math guy, you just have to pay off with a 4 here, right? And the added bonus is, if you have a 7, it costs me less than if I check. That's all I got.
Yeah, it just feels like 1.5 million is the number, not 900K. I don't know.
It is a small number.
Do you feel obligated as Eibinger to raise this against a tricky player like Mateos?
Well, what are we going to get? What's going to call us if we raise?
Our story is still weird and bad. I mean, now that the straights came in, the story's a little better in that we could have 8-9, we could have 5-3, we could have 5-8.
Great. So what's going to call us if we raise? I continue to ask.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know.
Good
I know.
Story that makes
I know
us
I was
stronger.
Going down the path.
No, I understand. I'm just saying. I'm not upset with you. I'm just sort of pointing out that that doesn't help.
Right. It doesn't help as much.
We want
as
the story to be worse, if anything, not better.
Yeah. We have to be able to get called by a six to make raising make sense.
Or a seven. A seven could, you know, we could be specifically trying to get called by a seven. If we make any kind of sizable raise, are we getting called by any of these things? Now, I don't know what happens and you do. I assume Matthias is going to raise based on this. So you even know what Mateos is going to do. But I just like remove yourself from the facts of this, the case here. And let's look at it, you know, hypothetically, theoretically, if you will.
Okay.
GTO.
I'll pretend I never saw the defendant's face tattoos.
Thank you. Yeah. Is it reasonable to think we can get called by a seven if we raise based on the fact that some straights did come in? And
I think if it has a blocker, maybe.
So we have like 7-9?
Yeah.
7-8?
Mateos has
seven,
that type
five.
Of hand. He has a six with a blocker.
He does have a six with a blocker. That's true. That's true. We could also just have a 10. The thing is that we called the turn. So what are we? What bluffs do we have if we raise? Are we turning a four into a bluff?
Turning spades into a bluff seems like a weird thing to do. Maybe we're turning a four into a bluff. Maybe we think it's just not good enough to call.
Maybe we're turning spades into a bluff, too, if we need to have some bluffs here, right?
Yeah. Spades that we didn't bet on the flop, by the way.
It feels like Mateos is assuming we're not going to turn a four into a bluff, right? Because he's betting to get called. It feels like to get called by a four.
It does feel that way.
So now he could be inducing spades, but that may be, those are the only obvious bluffs, though, is missed spades.
Yeah.
So like Miss Spades with a nine or an eight in her hand or a five in her hand or something like that.
Yeah.
So we block the straight a little bit too. Maybe.
Yeah. I guess an
There's
eight.
Not
or,
a lot there.
An eight or a five are the best blockers because they are part of two different types of straights each.
Yeah,
nine,
that's true.
Yeah, nine and three are worse blockers.
Agreed.
So Eibinger is going to raise to 3.6 million.
You just, okay.
It's like,
it's fine.
I think it's the classic, like, I need to get a little more value for this hand.
Right.
It's just not enough value.
Yeah. Here
All
we
right.
go.
So the story is kind of odd, but it straights make sense, right?
5-3 makes sense, and 5-8 makes sense. I don't know if 8-9 makes
because
sense.
Because you got shot on the flop?
Yeah, he's usually going to bet that, right?
So Mateos's blocker is meaningless.
To me, it feels meaningless, yes.
So you think a 5 is the best blocker in this case?
Or an 8.
Yeah, but a 5 is better because it is in 5-3 and 5-8.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
A 5 feels like the best blocker. I think it is.
Okay. Well, Mateos doesn't have that.
Right.
But he's going to go ahead and rip it in anyway.
I figured for sure it was going to be a rip after this, right? It's just not interesting enough otherwise, but this is interesting. This is the nightmare. You are what?
Not sure about this rip. it's pretty ambitious, man. It's 13.5 million over the 3.6 million raise.
He's like, the thing is this, like, what are we trying to fold out now? Are we just trying to fold out spades that are bluffing? Because we can beat that. Already.
And yeah.
Like, isn't all the value calling?
Yeah. We don't expect a 10 to fold, do we?
I don't know why we're right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Let's see if we would never expect a 10 to fold in a million years. A 10 is calling.
You would think.
Yes. Is a seven raising, a good seven raising, a king seven? Is it raising the river because we only bet 900,000 and now folding? Is that what we're targeting?
Maybe. I think Mateos must think that, yeah.
That is thin.
Yes, it is.
So thin.
Yes.
Too thin. It feels way too thin.
It's not that different than kings, right? Because Mateos never has pocket eights plus.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But kings, yeah. Kings can be attacking a seven.
Yeah.
When they raise.
King seven blocks sevens, I guess, which is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that purpose.
Yeah. But I mean, they can also be attacking a six.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. If we have king seven, we could just decide to call the 900K too and be like, it's so thin to get value here. Like, he has to actually call my raise. Otherwise, what's the fucking point? How often is he really going to call my raise with the worst hand? A little bit, sure, but enough.
Here's,
I mean, are these guys on this level of the margins that they have to do that?
One possibility is, and I think we have to open it up to all possibilities when dealing with a player as good as Adrian Mateos, who's had as much success as he has, is that his reads on people are so laser fucking engraved in their foreheads that he can tell what type of value Eibinger has. like from the way his body language is or something.
Maybe it's just a sizing thing too, the size of the race.
It seems less likely with elite players than that they would have something physical that was unexplainable going on.
I understand you say that, but within that, Adrian bet 900,000. Eibinger correctly raised his one pair hand on the river. Like, elite players absolutely have different ranges for different sizes, more or less. Now, I'm not saying it's not there isn't any balance.
I thought you were saying that
less balance.
I thought you were saying that Mateos was reading into Eibinger's sizing.
I was, but okay. I was starting that from the first part. That means because like the first part has to be true for the second part.
So you're saying that when Mateos bets 900 into 4.2, Eibinger's raising to 3.6 million. With thin value and 5 million with strong
perhaps,
value.
Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps he chooses a more polarizing size, bigger size if he's more, if he's stronger. Like, for example, if he's got a full house, he's probably jamming it to try and get full value from trip tens and a straight. I'm just making this up on the fly here, right? Versus where he's got thinner value, now he's going to charge less so that way he can make sure he does get called by the weaker hands.
How can Eibinger jam? I mean, that's so much.
If he's got like 10-6.
Yeah, but the pot has, after Mateo's bets, like 5 million in it, and the jam would be for 14 million.
That would be an extremely big jam, that's true.
Yeah.
But it's polarizing as hell. And if Mateos wants to, if Mateos has a strong value hand, he's calling, right?
I mean, Mateos is probably jamming a straight anyway over a raise.
Yeah, he probably is. That's true.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. Trip tens. But we blocked out based on my story.
Yeah.
What if I'm giving him 10-6 or something like that?
I just don't believe that Eibinger is that unbalanced, that he's playing all these high rollers and is a pro and against these guys, that he's going to be that easily readable. That.
And yet you agreed that Eibinger has to raise kings on the river because Adrian bet 900,000, right? So how do those two thoughts go together in your head?
Just the sizing thing I'm not agreeing with.
Right.
Yeah. I don't understand what you're saying.
Why does Eibinger raise the river?
I think it's a thin value raise to get more value for his hand.
If Mateos bet 6 million on the river, is Eibinger raising? Of course not.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
He's raising because the size is so small.
Okay.
Right. And? Because he thinks that means something about Adrian's range, right?
Sure.
So
continue.
So then that means that the size is telling is indicative of Adrian's strength, right?
In Eibinger's mind, it's not always going to be weakness, but it can be weakness, yes.
It trends toward weakness to the point where I would argue that if we got the top 70 no limit live tournament players and probably online too, they would all raise this river with an overpair here when it's 900,000 into whatever this number is 70.
Right, but what are you saying about 3.6 million? You're saying that's an odd number in one way or another?
I am not saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying that we don't know enough about these guys, but that they may have, like, sizing is a way that they use to determine range. You're sort of saying you don't think that that's the case. This has been an ongoing conversation.
No, I think it can be the case a little bit, but not enough to make this move. Like, I don't think Eibinger is going to be exploitable enough to be able to make this move.
Okay.
That's, like, really exploitable. If it's just sizing.
I mean, I would argue the 900K bet is really exploitable, too. Like, I mean, and in fact, I think we see it all the time when the high rollers play against each other. This kind of a bet gets raised a lot in these spots correctly because they know what kind of range they're up against. And I think that's weird.
Yeah.
And yet, it's what I see happening.
Right. But also, on top of this, you're kind of discounting how unlikely it is for Eibinger to have an overpair in this situation.
No question.
Yeah.
But what does that have to do with...
Mateos has to come up with a range of hands that would play this way,
right.
Then try to get thin value that are better than a six, but also will fold to the shove.
Right. And so this is like where suddenly there's more value hands than Mateos is assuming, is what you're saying. Right.
Right. So that's where I go back to a physical thing, because I don't think there's necessarily enough data, and it's such a small percentage of Eibinger's range to have that type of hand. It's more about maybe a comfort level physical read. Like, that seems more likely to me than Eibinger showing up with an overpair, having taken this line, and Mateos recognizing that from sizing.
Well, it's not that Mateos would know that it's an overpair, right? It would be that he would think, oh, this guy's like medium strong, not strong enough to call a shove. That's all he needs to know, right?
I guess, but like, what are those hands that fit into that category?
Right. It's like that you would decide to shove with here. By
yeah.
The way. You'd be targeting 8-8, 9-9, any 7. a better six. I mean, there's so little there.
It's hard to imagine Eibinger raising a better six.
And even if you do think, by the way, Eibinger can have these overpairs in his range because he's limping all the time.
Yeah.
There's just so few combos of them, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, there's six combos of, what, four overpairs or something. Like, who cares, you know? It's just not that much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I just simply don't understand what Mateos is doing here. It's too thin in my mind.
To find
the range. That's why I want to give it some almost like preternatural quality. Right. Because how else could a guy who with that much success make a move that makes so little sense? It attacks such a small percentage of the range.
It feels like it really does. And I would also be concerned that now if Eibinger decides to hero us, we're always beat by that hero. Like, he's less likely to hero with a four than with a seven, because seven probably has more straight blocker combos of the two. Although maybe fours have a reasonable amount too, but less so. Queen four is going to be there, but like 7-8 is going to be there. Yeah. 7-9 is going to be there. That feels like a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's something it could be a read. It could be a physical read. It could be a sizing thing too, where he has seen Eibinger play enough on the river. When he's raising for value, he has a sense of how Eibinger sizes it. That doesn't mean that, and I'm not saying there are massive differences, but there may be very micro differences that Mateos is on top of. That may not be true also, for sure. For sure that may not be true. I'm also trying to figure out what it could possibly be, and it's hard to come up with anything.
Yeah.
Because I agree, this doesn't seem good. I don't know what Eibinger's even going to do here now that we're in this spot. I'm not sure he's folding.
What do you think he should do?
I would guess he's going to fold. What should he do? Sorry. We don't have any blockers to any things we want to have. We don't have any spades in our hand, so that's good. There's a reverse blocker for you.
Mateos is uncapped. We should fold.
Yeah.
He has all of the 10x full houses.
Why didn't you let me finish? Let
Sorry.
Me get there.
Sorry.
What was that about? I was getting there.
It was too
fine.
Slow.
You're the worst. Just yeah. No, everyone knows I'm right.
Eat a banana.
They're all listening. Eat a banana. I just need some potato.
Fine, continue on your path.
No, it's what's the point now? Why would we ever want to talk about our thought process instead of just jumping to the end?
It just seemed like you weren't going to get there.
Well, then let me not get there and then disagree with me.
All right.
I was going to get there anyway.
Yeah.
I was just trying, because all I could come up with as bluffs were spades.
Right. Right.
Everything else should be. It doesn't really make any sense that Adrian would take a six and turn it into a bluff, for example, or a seven and turn it into a bluff. That seems like not something I should be considering.
At least the blocker of the six matters a little bit when Eibinger is potentially having a limping strategy. So you do block sixes full.
What we block is Eibinger having a nine in his hand.
Yeah.
Just one nine to block 8-9 for us, because we can have 8-9. He really can't.
Yeah.
Comparatively. I mean, we both can and we both can't, right? We both probably should have bet the flop if we had 8-9, mm-hmm. but we're not always going to do it. And Mateos is the guy who could be check raising it.
Yeah.
But Eibinger checked it back, so he's even less likely to have it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have even a nine in his hand, which means that's a blocker that he would make it easier to call us. That was good.
Yeah.
See?
Good job.
I got it. I still got it.
But I think you can just go back to simple principles, like Eibinger's distribution, right? He's not very high in there, and Mateos is uncapped. He can't have quad tens most likely, but he has everything else strong, and he's probably jamming his straights. It's probably not leaving value on the table with a straight.
I mean, yeah, he doesn't have pocket sixes either, but I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
This is something that we see a lot, though, is this raise for value on the river in spots where the opponents they're up against either already have them, are going to fold, or might make a play at them. And so I'm starting to wonder how much value there really is in these spots where we're like, well, you just have to raise here. We say that a lot.
Well, I think it might be.
Is there value to be had?
We've seen over the many years that we've done this podcast, there be trends among the high roller community about ways to play. Right?
There be trends. I like
we've
that.
We've seen there be trends.
Yes.
Yes.
There be dragons.
The way I said it.
There be dragons. No, you said it fine.
I have proper English. So I think a trend that's been recent has been thin value has expanded. People are trying to get more thin value on the river than they used to.
Yeah, I think in the last 4 years.
So the obvious counter to that is fuck you.
Yes.
You do not get thin value from me. You have to make a hero call now if you want your thin value.
And by the way, the baby bet on the river inspires that thin value to raise, and then you put them in the torture chamber, right? Like a normal bet on the river, if someone goes for thin value, they're less likely to go for thin value.
Yeah.
But if they do, you're less likely to make a play at them because you haven't necessarily induced it in the same way.
Right.
But I'm saying, so is this a bad move to be going for this thin value against this caliber of opponent specifically?
It seems like it might be, but then it sucks. And that then so
yeah,
like
then the, they got you the other way.
The right? obvious counter to that is go back to like playing less trappy in previous iterations of the hand, right? Like in the pre-flop and on the flop and on the turn. Maybe not with the 10-10-6 flop, but pre-flop is really where you could start, you know, putting more money in with
right.
a good hand.
We get more value there. It's such a disaster to raise fold this hand because of how far ahead we were at all times.
Yeah. You know,
like,
yes.
And like it, we would have won this pot. We should have won a reasonable size pot here.
Yeah.
Right. And instead we're going to lose a reasonable size pot because we fell victim to Mateos's insane trickery. Wonderful
yes.
trickery.
Yeah.
You know, and see, maybe Mateos knows things like if I bet 900,000, this guy's just going to raise almost everything. Like he's not going to raise a four, but he might even raise a seven. Right? He might raise, he's never going to raise a six, but he might raise a seven. And if he has any overpairs, he's going to raise that. And he's going to raise his bluffs. And sure, he's also got his super strong stuff, but he's usually going to bet that on the flop, like one blind or something like that, just in case I have a 10 or something like that to get it all, right? Whatever. You can see how like that starts to happen in Mateos's mind, where like, it's a click war thing, man. I bet 900, he raises, and I make him pay a bunch of the time.
Yeah. It's a high variance move. Putting in 13.5 million over 3.6.
It really is. I wonder how Mateos feels when he's in that spot. Is he like afraid?
Just dead. I think he's just dead inside.
It's just clear and like robotic and like this is what I'm doing this time and whatever happens happens because I know it's the right play. I believe it's the right play.
Yeah. I mean, at the stakes that I'm used to playing at this point when I play poker, I never feel fear anymore.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Just no, like, I don't either. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I think they're gonna call. That's what I get to. It's like, oh, I think they're gonna call.
Right.
Okay. Well, I wonder how long this is gonna be.
Yeah.
And then they do or they don't call, right?
Yeah.
This reminds me of that Fabian Kwas, Dan Shack hand we did forever ago, where Fabian raises for value similarly, and Dan Shack just shoves it down his throat. Dan is betting for value on the river also, but bets small. Fabian reads it correctly, thinks he's up against an amateur who he can like manipulate perfectly, and instead Shack destroys him with it, right?
And then he spoofed the price of gold. But that's unrelated.
It's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did that too. So I'm curious to know, like, are we just seeing these spectacular moments where this gets thwarted, but actually this is really a profitable play? Or is this actually a profitable? I know the solver wants to do it, but it feels like everyone's got such counters to this now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm glad I don't have to play against these guys.
Yeah. Like, I remember playing the main event in whatever, 2018 or whatever. And on the first day, I had a nut flush draw. This guy bet the turn. I called the board. I made the flush, but the board paired, and the guy bet small. And I was like, I just have to raise. Mm-hmm. I just have to. And I'm gonna have to fold if he fucking three bets. And I hope he doesn't like overvalue a flush here. But like sees the paired board and calls with the flush, right? So I raised. And he thought for a while and he folded. But like, it's such a weird spot.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even know if a bad flush is calling this raise. I just don't know. But it's the first day of the main event. I have to give him a chance to pay me off. You know. Anyway, so it's. It's the same kind of situation where it's like, you feel like such a nit to just call. Like, oh, I'm so not good enough here. Don't I need to be better? But I don't know. I wonder if this may be fancy play syndrome.
It's possible. Yeah, or just a trend. A trend of fancy play syndrome.
Yes.
Hey, so how'd these guys end up finishing?
Aibinger took it to the mattress, baby, and took all the money, $3.461 million. He beat Mateos, who took $3.12 million.
Biggest score in Aibinger's career.
Indeed it was, of his 17.8 million.
And now he is known. His greatest fear.
Sorry, man. Put that name on the marquee. It's Mateos Aibinger.
You even said it wrong. He's safe. He said it wrong. He's totally safe.
Yeah, keep calling Mateos. That's just what I want.
Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. 90s baby scratching on vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second.